go to Ephesians chapter 6. I have a very simple message this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. And you guys, I love being with you guys. You guys are so funny. Last week I preached on husbands and wives, and I had people come to me afterwards saying, you know, that was a good message, Pastor Kev. Doesn't apply to me and my wife at all, but it's a good message. You know, the thing is, and this morning's topic is a little bit different for us as a congregation, but how many in this room are parents? How many in this room had parents? The message applies to you. How many have grandchildren? How many love someone else's kids? And you're glad they're someone else's kids? No. Oh, gosh. That's a nice thing about getting to be a grandparent. I have 7 kids and love them for those few minutes and hand them right back. No. Last week, we spoke about husbands and wives from Ephesians, last part of chapter 5. And we understand, please understand, even if you weren't here, I invite you to listen to the message. It is at gracechristiancenter.us. Please understand, the Apostle Paul turned the world, the known world of Roman and Greek teaching, on its head with his teaching. It was not what is commonly taught. People today, women today, have trouble with the Church of Jesus as being women haters. And they all say Paul was a woman hater. What a horrible man. Paul turned the known world on its head. Greek and Roman teaching where husbands had supreme authority, wives needed to submit, and they were not equal, they were property. So Paul comes along, as is common teaching for the world, and has a verse saying, wives, submit to your husbands. But you look in that scripture section in chapter 5, and you find the greatest set of scriptures is for husbands, love your wives. And remember, the whole section begins with submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. The apostles' teaching was, when we are all yielded to God, we love each other, turn to each other, look at each other's backs if you can, and say, I got your back, brother. I got your back, sister. When we have each other's back, when we stand together in commitment and loving relationship, it's not hard to submit one to another. Because if you've got something you want to say to me, I want to hear it. And hopefully you want to hear what I have to say to you. We want to help each other grow. We know there's love. It can't be shaken. We hang in there together. Amen? How many know every now and then in life, God's people have difficulties? Turn to each other and say, but I don't have any difficulty with you right now. But Paul, in that context, submitting one to another, says, okay, wives, submit to your husband. It doesn't mean to do anything illegal. They can't browbeat you, abuse you. That's not that. But he says, okay, with this kind of spirit, there's a submission that occurs. Submitting one to another, husbands submit to wives. And the common teaching in those days were wives submit. Oh, I said husbands submit to wives. That was radical, I'm sure. Anyway, in those days, it was wives submit to husbands, children submit to parents, slaves submit to employers. Paul repeats all those. But the context of them all is, wait a minute, I'm going to teach you something brand new. In all of those teachings in Greek and Roman days, there was never a statement to the husband. And Paul gives most of his statements to the husband. Husband, you are responsible to set the tone of the home with a spirit of love, with a spirit of grace. And in that context, wives, submit to your husband, respect to them as they love you. Amen? Now, this morning is a section that's a little bit unique for us as a congregation. But I want you to hear the heartbeat of the apostle, because one more time, the apostle is setting the known world's teaching on its head. We read these scriptures glibly, quickly, and we think, oh, sure. But Paul was setting the world straight on God's heart. Christianity elevates the place of women to a never-before-understood place, mutual love. Now what he does for the family is interesting. Submission continues. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and there's our text, plain and simple, this morning. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up how? Say it with me, please. In the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, I want to read this out of the Message version. Watch this. Verses 1 through 4 of Ephesians chapter 6 out of the Message. Children, do what your parents tell you. This is only right. Honor your father and mother is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it. Namely, so you will live well and have a long life. Fathers, don't exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Please read it with me. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master. The Greek and Roman teaching had no instructions for the men. Everybody was owned by the man. Whether it was the wife or whether it was the children or whether it was the slave, they had to relate rightly with him. But now Paul has taught on women and how husbands are to take care of them. And now Paul sets the world on its head again because he addresses directly comments to children. Children weren't of any accord, except in Judaism and in Christianity. Because these Greeks and Romans were upset at the minority or different new religions coming in and affecting their household codes. Their codes were ascribed forever. And you don't mess with us. Man in charge. Right? And nowadays it's man in charge if my wife lets me be. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. No. No, we love each other. Man in charge, woman in charge. We are co-inheritors of the grace of God. The Bible says. Okay, so the children didn't have a place. You know what's radical about this? Paul writes addressing children just like they were in the congregation sitting, learning, hearing, worshiping. That is radical. Children have a place in the household of God. Someone say amen. Amen. Children are important to God. Someone say amen even louder. Amen. Now, Sam, if you'll stand up. Daniel, look, no, I'm kidding. All right. Children. Marianne, kind of the age of Mary. Stand. No, I'm kidding. All right. But children are important to God. And church, they need to be important to us. He says, children, do what your parents tell you. Now, that's important. The scripture says obey. And that Greek word is hupakoo. And it means here under, submit, subordinate. Listen attentively. Heed or conform to a command or authority. Hear, listen, here under. Because it's the right thing to do before the Lord. How many know kids need teaching and training? Come on, Sam, Marianne, you need any teaching and training in your life ever? No, Marianne's not. No. Okay, now, Marianne, I'm going to appeal to the fact that she's just like Mary. Do you think Mary submitted to her parents? I'm kidding. Okay, so she's still shaking it. No. How many know? All right, let's all show them how it's done, guys. When you were a kid, did you need to submit to your parents?
Yes.
Did you always want to?
No.
Did you always?
No.
Oh, here she said yes. The only one in the room said yes. I submitted always to my parents. No. Okay. Let me just be the first among you to acknowledge I didn't. But when I didn't, do you know what? I sure needed to.
Yeah.
And I had plenty of consequences. Now, I believe that's one of the problems in our society today. There aren't consequences for not rightly responding to mentoring and training. Okay, hang in with me. So the context, remember, we all submit to one another, but kids need to pay attention. Parents should expect it, teach it, train it. Guys, One more time, it begins with you in the home. Oh, my wife did all the child raising. The Bible says, guys, you set the tone of your home. It begins with you. Number one, guys, you're looking at me and go, I don't have kids at home. It's okay. Hang in there. Put on your seatbelt. Let's learn from the scripture. Guys, are you listening to Jesus? Are you learning from Jesus? Are you walking and responding to Jesus in conviction to the Word of God? Are you following His Word? Are you making Him first in your life? Then if you are and as you are, you have credibility in your home. You have a kid who could look at a parent responding to God with a model in front of them saying, okay, I see how it's done. It may not always be easy. That doesn't mean, you know, your parent can tell you to go do something illegal. We've seen that on the news too. That's not what's being talked about here. But there's a model. And if you're anything like me, you were rebellious enough as a kid that sometimes, well, Jeannie didn't, but sometimes there was rebellion that happened in your life. And I had the Board of Education applied to the seat of learning. Anybody else in this room have the Board of Education applied to the seat of learning? Anybody else in this room think it probably ought to happen a little more today? Okay. The Bible says, when ministered in the spirit of love, when ministered with a right spirit and a spirit of love, you're not going to destroy your child by bringing some discipline. You'll destroy them if you won't. That's a different teaching, but it's got to be in a context of love, because there's been a lot of abuse that's occurred. And so people go, I'm not touching that. And that's not the heartbeat of my message this morning. But love is, and a context of being the example is. All right. Kids are absolutely vital to God. Say it with me, please. Kids are vital to God. Number one, again, Paul assumed that the kids were in the congregation of believers. Here in this church, we have kids through until I believe it's in fifth grade that are in our Sunday time with Jesus. And then as they get older, though they're having a blast in there, and that's what the way it's supposed to be, they need to come in and be in the congregation. They need to learn to hear the Word of God and respond to the Word of God. And they need to be able to be in the presence of God as their adults are in the presence of God, right? So that's all part of learning. But by addressing, even just addressing them, Paul takes a segment of society that was considered virtually without rights, and he elevates the place of God's creation of kids. Just like the place of women is elevated in Christianity, the place of children is elevated in Christianity. He invested them with a dignity, if you will, and a worth that was absolutely unheard of in the Roman world. Paul was teaching the men of the culture that your children are people, and they're vital. And women, they're vital and important. Care for them. They are not chattel, bought and sold in the marketplace. They're relationships that need your investment, your love, your care. They belong to God first. So you can see God looking at you and Jesus smiling at you and saying, so you better take good care of them. Now, some of us sitting here listen to the scripture and go, I should have done a better job. Okay? Anybody? Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah. Anybody else in this room? I should have done a better job. Aren't you grateful for the grace of God? Thank God for grace. The good news, the blood of Jesus covers, cleanses us from sin. But we'll go there. Jewish and Greco-Roman writers unanimously agreed that children needed to honor their parents, and at least until they grew up, and they got this right, they needed to obey them as well. Now, the command to honor is in the Old Testament, one of the commandments. It's in the Old Testament. And it included living in such a way that your very lifestyle, kids, brings honor to your parents. Okay? I'm supposed to live in such a way. Hey, church, I'm supposed to live in such a way that my life brings honor to Jesus, right? And so the family is supposed to conduct itself, and it's supposed to be a picture of the church of God. And so, kids, live in such a way that your life brings honor to your parents. Many Jewish writers believed that honoring one's parents was the most important commandment. I don't think that's the most important commandment. What is the most important commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And guess what? When you do that, everything else flows from there. And it's imparted in your family as well. At the time, now hear me carefully. At the time, in those days, kids were mostly, mainly, much of the time taught by beatings, which was considered standard. And fathers were considered responsible for their education. But Paul is among a minority of ancient writers who seem to really disapprove of excessive beating. You see it in the scriptures. Don't provoke them. We'll get to what that means. But listen carefully to this point, please. Greek and Roman society was even harsher on newborn children. Hang in here with me. You think the things of our current generation are only faced especially by us? It's throughout the world. An infant in those days was only accepted as a legal person only when the father recognized it. Until then, babies could be abandoned, or if they were deformed, they could be killed. And the Church of Jesus came against it. Early Christians and Jews came against that from the earliest days, unanimously standing against abortion and murder and abandonment of our families. Church, someone in this room say amen. Amen. Still true today. The heart of Jesus beats in a whole different direction than the world. Because God values human life. Aren't you glad you're more than a piece of flesh sitting in this room?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that from the moment of conception, you were more than a piece of tissue, but God breathed into you as a living soul? David in the scripture says, I was known from my mother's womb. When my wife was pregnant with our children, I'd lay hands on her every day and ask the Lord to fill the womb with the Holy Spirit. And the womb and the room was filled with the Holy Spirit. But there's something powerful. God is involved. That child is a living, breathing miracle with a soul. Isn't that incredible? The promise for those who obey their parents is that they will enjoy a prosperous and long life on the earth as they honor. This takes a general principle that obedience fosters self-discipline and then brings stability and longevity in one's life. You go and read it in the Old Testament. Remember the kids Phinehas and Hophni and the kids Eli's son Phinehas and Hophni? And they didn't obey or they didn't honor. What happened to them? Anybody remember? They died. What you have is an example of that life that doesn't respond rightly to God, not just parents, but walks away from God, runs away from God. How many know that before you got saved, you did plenty of stupid things, and it's a miracle that you're saved by grace and here alive today? Come on, can somebody else besides me say amen? Amen. It's the grace of God that I'm here alive today. Man, oh man, squeaked through a few things. That's the grace of God. Yeah, okay, a whole bunch of them. Some of you are looking honest with me. Some of you are looking like, I wonder what he did. It's under the blood, I forget. But the Bible says about the children, parents, fathers, don't provoke them to wrath. What it literally means in the Greek there, don't enrage and anger alongside of them. Don't beat them up or beat them down. Make them hopeless and furious with you, never able to please you. No way. The Bible says you literally put a face on Jesus to your kids. All of this is just like our title last week, being living proof that God is real. And so we show him to each other, respect, love, submit. It's not just wives owned, children are property, husbands get away with anything. That's not the spirit. It's submit to one another and agape love each other. Paul is putting in this section of scripture the heartbeat of God into the church for for what God's family is supposed to be. And the scripture says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them to maturity in nurture, which is the Greek word paideia, tutorage, education, training, disciplinary correction can be involved. Admonition, bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. The Greek word is nethousia. J. Adams, some of you remember J. Adams back from the 70s, competent to counsel, many books. He was really the forerunner of a movement called nouthetic counseling, based on this Greek word. And it means to call attention to, mild rebuke or warning from the Scripture. Admonition. In order to accomplish the kind of love, nurture, and instruction Paul is teaching, takes time. Kids aren't just an add-on to your life. You are literally passing the baton to the next generation. Now, you look at me and go, why are you teaching me this? Because we're doing the book of Ephesians. But it's also important for us who have grandchildren, children, or even if you don't have those, helping with friends who have them. What's the Bible teach about all of this? Remember, Jesus told his disciples, don't shoo them away from me. Don't forbid the children to come unto me. Welcome them. Make room for them. Kids are vital to God. Come on, say it with me. Kids are vital to God. If we don't welcome them in our life, why would they ever want to come to the Church of Jesus Christ? Amen? Amen. Do you want them to join you in what's important? No. Maybe you're looking at me this morning saying, I haven't done that. All right, what can you do? Repent. Forgive me, Lord, for where I missed it. And reach out to those kids in love now. Some of you might look at me and say, my kids won't talk to me now. Then it's time to pray and repent of anything that you've done wrong. But maybe you didn't do anything wrong and they just have gone their own way. How many know prayer works? Amen. I can't guarantee solutions all the time or easy roads. But guess what? Prayer works. How many of you understand Jesus loves your kids more than you do? Aren't you glad he proved it by loving you? Yes. He loves our kids more than we do. Now, grandparents. And that's especially who I'm looking at in the room. There are grandparents here. You can help your kids with their kids. You can't control them. Your place now is an advisor to your kids. But you can sure do your best to remain involved. Grandparents have the opportunity and the occasion upon occasion to be involved. But you know what the neatest thing is that you can do? And you all do it. I do it too. You stand back a little more objectively and you can see some of the things going on, can't you? How many can see what's going on with your kids and grandkids? Amen. Especially nowadays. You can see it because it's all on Facebook. And you pray to God you don't see some things on Facebook. But you can see it. Were you anything like me? When your kids were little, life was a zoo, and it was so swamped. You didn't have all the time you really wish you had had to stand back and evaluate. Now, that's why my kid's doing this. I see it perfectly. Was anybody lost like I was? Thank God I had Pastor Carl and Pastor Jerry to help guide me. What's going on here? I remember when Gail was so ill, my middle son, I love him, and he is a call of God on his life. He can preach with passion, and he's a pastor and all of that. But boy, there was a time when everything was going on in our lives. I couldn't get the kid to tell me a true story. It's kind of funny. I have kind of a nice signature, and he could hardly have legible penmanship, you know, cursive. His cursive was not really readable. And he tried to forge my signature in school. And we had a Christian school. They were just downstairs from my office. They tried to forge my signature on excuse. Now remember, come on, you can agree with me. You were a kid once. Kids aren't always bright. He tried to forge my, and the principal was a really good friend of mine. So she gets this note. And it was everything she could do to fall off her chair laughing. You know, please excuse Christopher, signed Kevin Hunter, you know. Who signed this? Oh, my dad did. So then I got called in. And, of course, it was no laughing matter to me. Years later, it kind of is. But you know, you sit there and you go, I couldn't understand. I did try to keep him talking and all three of my kids talking when Gail was so ill and open, but sometimes we're just blind. But as grandparents, as you pray for your kids and your grandkids, you can stand back and see a little more objectively. And as advisors, you can put your arms around your kids and say, it's going to be okay. I want you to know I'm praying for you. And I'm praying for them. And here's a thought or two. May not accept it. Maybe they don't want you involved that way. And then you can pray. Let me ask you another question. Those of you who have given your life to Jesus, who are your earliest influencers? I can't tell you, as I ask that question, how many stories I've heard over the years of my grandma prayed for me. My grandparents prayed for me. My grandpa, I remember late at night here in my, being at my grandpa's house and sleeping in this big old bed with this wonderful, warm, 5,000-degree feather thing over me, and I could hear, prayer. And you think sometimes you don't have much influence. But when you understand the heart of God, you have opportunity for a world of influence. You say, well, my time with my kids done. It's never done as long as you're still alive. In fact, the name of this message is called Love 'em While You Got 'em. Yeah. Love 'em while you got 'em. Well, I've watched divorce happen and kids get taken away and people be distant. I didn't speak to my own dad for 22 years, but I learned through all of that. You can still pray. You can still pray. You don't worship your kids, but you can love them. You can lead them with the idea that Jesus does love them and always understand you're putting the face on Jesus to them. Honor. What does honor mean? The Greek word for honor is tamao. Can you say it with me? Tamao. And it means literally to prize, fix a valuation upon, to revere. If you will obey and honor, you'll have a good and long life. Pastor Kev, I want you to be honest with me now. How do I honor the ones who treated me so badly? And some of us had parents who treated us horribly. The Bible doesn't say parents are perfect. The Bible doesn't say we're perfect. Anybody, okay, those of you without sin, cast the first stone, right? Anybody, any perfect people in this room? Turn to each other, please, and look at each other and say, and I know it's not you. How do I honor the ones who treated me so badly? Listen, we're in a real society. Some people here, their parents were very abusive, physically, sexually, even possibly. What do I do with that verse? May I offer some thoughts? Jesus values them and died for them too. Jesus died for them too. And there is an important word that he spoke from the cross that we all need. Your parents were people who failed. Can anybody in this room be honest with me enough to say, I know I failed in some ways? He spoke from a cross that we all need. Your kids and your grandkids fail. You fail. Our parents failed. Guess what? We all need Jesus. Come on, say it with me. We all need Jesus. How do I honor those who have treated me so terribly? May I suggest one simple way? And I know it's not easy. But on the cross, after looking at his tormentors and beaters, those who impaled him with such horrific pain, Jesus himself said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Tetelestai needs to apply to your parents also, and to us. Let them out of prison. We're old enough now, we've come far enough in the Lord, that those who have hurt us and wronged us need to be let out of a prison we put them in. Rightly so. Some of them were terrific. Some of them were horrific. If we put them in a prison of unforgiveness, the prison only hurts us. It no longer hurts them. Jesus paid the price. They'll have to face God someday. But we'll let God take care of that. As for us, we need to free our own spirits by saying, I forgive. Jesus paid the price. Ask Jesus to cover you and your entire family with the precious blood of Jesus and to give you His heart for them. Forgive or be willing to forgive. Sometimes, have you ever prayed like I've prayed? Sometimes when you know you just can't handle the request God's given or the command He's given, sometimes you pray, Lord, make me willing to be willing. I remember the first dealing I went through. I was just saved. I went down to this church, fantastic revival in the north end of Seattle, and I used to wake up in the middle of the night as a small kid with my dad having been out to the bars, come home and really ragingly be yelling and very physically abusive to my mom. And when they divorced, I thought it was all my fault. And it was just a really terrible situation in my own mind. A lot of people have had a lot worse. I remember the first healing I got from Jesus. I distinctly remember hearing from the Lord. I was radically saved. I went to a church where there were usually 150 kids rolling around this church. It was a real revival. And the day I went there, I was really hurting, didn't know why. I knew God was doing something. It was about a month after I gave my life to the Lord. And I went down to the church and nobody was there, which was odd. And I just felt, okay, I'm going to go in and kneel down and spend some time at the altar and pray. So I go in and nobody was there. So I go in and I kneel down. And the voice of the Spirit spoke to me almost audibly. And He said, Kevin, I want you to forgive your dad. I will tell you very honestly, I spent the next hour and a half literally in a wrestling match with God. And I was shouting. Thank God nobody was in the church. I was shouting, saying, that's not fair. That's not fair of you to ask. You know I don't want to. You know that's wrong. You know he treated our whole family horrible. I don't want to forgive him. And the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Have you ever noticed? He just kept, like he was walking over, putting a hand on my shoulders and saying, son, I want you to forgive him. And I wrestled some more. I don't want to do that. And it was like he'd come back over and say, yeah, I know. I want you to forgive him. Will you be still? No. I won't be still, Kevin. I want you to pay attention to me. And I ended up at the bottom of the stairs in a heap of tears, in a pool of tears and sweat after wrestling with God. But I've discovered something from my earliest days. When you wrestle with God, if your heart is sincere and you wrestle with God and you will discover that God wins if you're surrendered. And I finally, in a heap of tears, broken, said, Jesus, I don't want to. But I forgive my dad. And the peace that came flooding into my soul for the first time in a decade, even as a young man, first time in a decade, when I let myself out of prison because of doing the important work of saying, Lord, I forgive. How do you honor? Forgive. Try to find something for which you can be grateful. If you can't find anything else, be grateful that you at least got brought into the world. Okay, you can be grateful for that. That you're here this morning. Many of you have had terrific homes and terrific memories. And for some of you, if you didn't, it's not too late to try to have a few. Love them while you got them. How do you take a message like this from the Scripture to a group like this? There are not a lot of little ones, but maybe there's some lessons we can learn. You know, one thing that grandparents and parents are called to do is when our kids wander away, we're called to help bring them back. Vern, would you get some of those lights, please? Help bring them back. Go ahead, the whole thing. So when they wander away, we can do our best to pick them up and bring them back. One of the other things that we're called to do is, in our prayers, we protect our kids in our love. Just kind of like this. You hold them to your heart. And You can pray. Say, my kid's distant. My kid won't forgive me. My kid doesn't want anything to do with me. You can still do that in the Spirit and love them the way God calls us to. And then this one is a different species, but how many have ever seen your kids hurting? This one says, no matter how bad it hurts, go ahead and bring it all the way, dogs can make you feel better. But how many know Jesus, mom, dad, grandpa, and grandma can help make it better? Love them while you got them. I told a story quite some time ago, thank you, about a little boy one day was going to go wander a long way away to see where he could find God and where God lived. And so he packed a suitcase. This little guy was energetically busy packing his suitcase, and his mama was watching it. And so he packed a few things in his suitcase. He included a bag of potato chips and some root beer, a six-pack of root beer. He started on his long, long journey. When he got about 3 blocks away, he met an old man, and he was sitting in a park just staring at some pigeons. And the boy, little boy scampered over with his heavy suitcase and sat down next to him, and he opened up his suitcase. And he was about to take a drink from his root beer when he noticed that the old man looked hungry. So he offered him some chips. The old man gratefully accepted the chips and smiled at the boy. But his smile was so great. This little kid was just delighted to see his smile. And he wanted to see it again. So he decided he'd offer him a root beer. And the old man smiled at him again. The boy was literally delighted. They sat there all afternoon, eating chips and drinking root beer and smiling. And never said a word. The end of the afternoon began to roll on, and the little boy realized he was really tired, and he thought maybe he better get up and go back home. So he got up and started to walk away, but after just a few steps, he turned around and he ran back to the old man and he gave him a great big hug. The old man gave him the biggest smile he'd seen all day. The little boy got home 3 blocks away. His mom was surprised by the look of total joy on his face. She said, "What did you do today that made you so happy?" The little boy looked at his mom and he said, "I had lunch with God. He's got the greatest smile I've ever seen." The old man went back home to his house. He was also radiant with joy, and his son was really stunned by the look of peace that he saw on his face. And he said, "Dad, what did you do today that made you so happy?" He looked at his son and he said, "Today, I ate potato chips in the park with God. And he's a lot younger than I expected." Too often, we underestimate and we don't value the power of a smile, of a touch, of a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, the smallest act of caring. I have burdens just like you do for my kids, like you for yours and grandchildren. And I want to see it turn around all at once. And I don't see that kind of quick answer to my prayers. And sometimes I can get frustrated. And God says, "Keep going. Keep praying. Keep feeding them chips." People come into our lives for a reason, for a season, sometimes for a lifetime. Love them while you got them. Have lunch with God. Bring chips. Stand with me. This isn't a message to condemn where there's been failure, but to instruct on what's the heart of God from the Scripture. It's a lot more, isn't it, than just submit, obey. There's a whole heartbeat behind it all. Father, we thank you for the understanding from your word, and we pray that as we go from this place, we'll go understanding your heart. And we thank you for it, Lord. You're so good. Now we pray for our children. We pray for our grandchildren. Total surrender to Jesus. And give us wisdom, Lord, as we continue to love them like you loved us. For even our grandchildren now. Lord, our heart's prayer is that you'll bring them all under the banner of your presence. Some of our kids and grandkids, they're headlong into wrong choices. Oh, God, open their eyes and arrest their direction. Stop them, Lord, and bring them back to full surrender to you. And help us do what we can do in the time that we have to love them and put the face on you, but also speak, if necessary, to the situation with wisdom, with anointing, with grace. Now bless each one, Lord, as we apply the Word of God to our own lives. Bless each one who's here this day, and we thank you for your mercy and your grace to us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. If you're here this morning and you know the Lord has spoken to your heart and you want time to spend with him at the altar, they're open. If you need prayer for healing in your body, we're here and we'd be honored to pray for you. God bless you, though. Don't go discouraged. Go believing God for good new days. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Be released in the presence of the Lord.